And then I realized it was Mr. Tanaka. He'd changed in some way I couldn't have described. I watched him reach up to smooth his gray hair and was struck by the graceful way he moved his fingers. Why did I find it so peculiarly soothing to look at him? Perhaps I was in a daze at seeing him and hardly knew how I really felt. Well, if I hated anyone in this world, I hated Mr. Tanaka. I had to remind myself of this. I wasn't going to kneel beside him and say, "Why, Mr. Tanaka, how very honored I am to see you again. What has brought you to Kyoto?" Instead, I would find some way of showing him my true feelings, even if it was hardly the proper thing for an apprentice to do. Actually, I'd thought of Mr. Tanaka very little these last few years, but still, I owed it to myself not to be kind to him, not to pour his sake into his cup if I could spill it on his leg instead. I would smile at him as I was obliged to smile, but it would be the smile I had so often seen on Hatsumomo's face, and then I would say, "Oh, Mr. Tanaka, the strong odor of fish. It makes me so homesick to sit here beside you." How shocked he would be. Or perhaps this, "Why, Mr. Tanaka, you look almost distinguished." Though in truth, as I looked at him, for by now we'd nearly reached the box in which he sat, he did look distinguished, more distinguished than I could ever have imagined. Mameha was just arriving, lowering herself to her knees to bow. Then he turned his head, and for the first time I saw his broad face and the sharpness of his cheekbones, and most of all, his eyelids folded so tightly in the corners and so smooth and flat. And suddenly, everything around me seemed to grow quiet, as if he were the wind that blew, and I were just a cloud carried upon it. He was familiar, certainly, more familiar in some ways than my own image in the mirror. But it wasn't Mr. Tanaka at all. It was the chairman.